This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture, doing so today with Andy Tower. He's the Executive Director of Public Policy for Indiana Farm Bureau, and Indiana Farm Bureau just released some priorities for this upcoming legislative session. And Andy, it's hard to believe that we're almost in 2024 here, and that new legislative session here in the state will be kicking off. And I know the priorities that I've got here in front of me that you guys passed along, they're familiar enough. There are things that I know that your organization continues to work on. I want to dive a little bit deeper here into the first one, which is rural viability. And I know that we've touched on this before, but it's a broad topic that I know Indiana Farm Bureau is kind of hammering down on some things within that. Can you just talk about what it means to legislate, to prioritize rural viability?
Absolutely, Eric. And so I think really, to set the stage, I mean, rural viability really kind of came into focus for us coming out of COVID. And about the same time the new census data was released, and we were found and saw with our own eyes that a lot of our rural communities across Indiana and rural counties had lost population. And so, but you think about where our members of Indiana Farm Bureau work, live, and play, it is in those rural communities. And so we have now, over the last, I believe, three legislative sessions now, had a focus on rural viability. How do we get some spark of life back into some of those communities? And so some of the areas of focus in there, we continue to work on the broadband front, continuing to see how we can get the dollars that we've been so successful to get both at the General Assembly. We've also been fortunate enough to get some dollars to come in the state of Indiana from Washington, D.C. Now, how do we make sure that those dollars are getting deployed in those rural communities to be able to allow folks to, whether it be work from home, run small businesses and storefronts in those rural communities? So can continue to focus on broadband deployment. And really, quite frankly, and tie that back into the the crop side of things, how do we get broadband to the last acre? As you know, Eric, I mean, the technology that farm members are utilizing out at the farm gate level continues to advance. And how can we make sure they have access to that high quality broadband in the fields as they're moving across, and being able to, quite frankly, make real time decisions on the fly out in the fields? Also, under rural viability is rural infrastructure, continuing to work and make sure we have adequate funds for roads and bridges and those type of things. And really starting to, as we have those conversations with folks at the NDOT and at the General Assembly, how do we make sure that these roads are being designed and built to handle future equipment needs and transportation needs, not only our segment of the industry, but just Hoosiers in general? Workforce continues to be an issue that is starting to bubble up more and more throughout our members. Historically, we've always kind of thought of that as more of a specialty crop or a large livestock, but workforce, high quality workforce, continues to be something we're hearing more and more from our members. And so how do we continue to work with the General Assembly to make sure we have good career technical education at the school level, and really being able to help support those high wage off-farm jobs? And one of the things that's really kind of in the last probably 18 months bubbled up in this workforce area is high quality child care. And so in what we're starting to hear and learn in many of our rural communities, there's just a real lack of good quality child care. So one member of the family usually has to stay home and help take care of the youngins. So looking to how we can work with the General Assembly, and is there some opportunity for the state to weigh in there and maybe help us create some public-private partnerships in terms of child care. And then the other kind of area of focus in terms of rural viability is food security. And for us, as we think about food security, how do we make sure we have a whole suite of policies and regulatory and legislative action that allow our farmers to keep farming? And, we're very blessed here in Indiana to have some of the most productive, fertile soils in the country. And how do we continue to maintain that and keep farmers there actively growing food to not only feed our citizens here in Indiana, across the country, but also across the globe?
When you really think about this, Andy, and you're talking really about bringing kind of a younger generation back to these rural communities, and specifically to broadband and quality childcare, younger families needing that childcare, younger kids who maybe just went off and graduated from Purdue and had Wi-Fi all over campus. They need that now. It's not just a want, it's a need, and those are the types of things you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct, Eric. I mean, this is it's become a way of life for the younger generation. I mean, it's, you know, we take electricity for granted today, and quite frankly, I think we'll get to the point where broadband Wi-Fi is looked at in the same fashion. But yes, they expect that if they want to be able to come back and live and work in a small rural community here across the state of Indiana.
Taxation and fiscal policy. That's the next priority on Indiana Farm Bureau's list. Let's talk about this. I know that, you know, you're always kind of looking at some of the tax burdens that are impacting producers' bottom lines. What are some of the things in this shortened session coming up, not a budget year, for the Indiana legislative session here? What are you focusing in on there?
So really, as we think about taxation and fiscal policy for this year, it's really trying to get ourselves prepared and working with the legislature to be prepared for that 25 budget session. And so we heard a lot of conversations last year during the budget talks about concerns of increased property taxes for homeowners. Well, our agriculture property taxes as well went up percentage-wise about the same percentage basis. And so as we look to that next buying in budget in 2025, do we need to take another look at the farmland formula? Are there some tweaks that we can be making there to, as folks look to shift the tax burden around, that we protect to protect farmers, as well as looking at maybe some potential overall state and local tax reforms? We've had the General Assembly had a study committee looking at that as well. And so I think there's a lot of conversation that'll really be prepping us for 25 as it relates to tax and fiscal policy. And one of the things that our members and our board of directors have asked us to do kind of to lean into that a touch more is to establish a tax task force, which we'll be doing here. I believe we'll meet first time later this month yet, and really helping us dig into some of those tougher tax questions and be able to have a suite of policy priorities that we'll be pushing for in that 25 session. So really a lot of focus here is just doing their due diligence and getting us set up and prepared to be able to lead in a lot of those conversations as we move into the 25 biennium budget.
Andy Tower, Executive Director of Public Policy with Indiana Farm Bureau, joining us here on Hoosier Ag Today. And Andy, this next one, I know it's been from a number of different standpoints, a big topic of conversation here of late: land use and property rights. That's the third priority for Indiana Farm Bureau this coming legislative session. It's been a topic of conversation in previous legislative sessions when we talk about property rights, not just on the ground, but also under it. But now we have this other project. It really was driven by that Boone County LEAP project. Some things happening there. Being here in Tippecanoe County, I know that there are a lot of questions about the water coming from here up there to Boone County. So just a lot of different things going on here. What is the stance of Indiana Farm Bureau, and what are we tackling here with land use and property rights as a priority?
Yes. So, Sarah, as you'd mentioned, there's a lot going on in this space, and there has been really over the last handful of sessions at the General Assembly. And it continues to be a cornerstone of Indiana Farm Bureau, protecting land use and property rights of our members. And, you know, with more than 80% of land in Indiana devoted to farms, forests, and woodlands, how do we continue to preserve that? And really, we go all the way back and we talked about rural viability. A lot of this, of course, interconnects all across all three of these. And how do we protect that way of life? And as you well know, I mean, we can't have robust and high quality crops without water. So water will be an area that will really start to dig in and focus in this session, as well as probably, I don't think this water conversation will conclude this year. It's really going to be an ongoing discussion. And for several years, we've had a lot of focus here in Indiana on water quality. And I think we've done a great job in cover crops and working with our other partners at corn and soybean and Indiana Pork, Indian Ag Nutrient Alliance, to really educate and provide some guidance to members across the state in terms of water quality. But really this year, we're going to start to turn our focus, quite frankly, to water quantity. And yes, absolutely, this LEAP project in Boone County and this conversation about water withdrawal up from the typical thinking in the area has risen this to the top. But as we've started talking to members, this water quantity concern is much more widespread than, quite frankly, I think we all had a real appreciation for. And so this is another area we're going to be working with a group of members to really dig into this, to help us think about long-term, what type of water, whether it's regulation, guidance, those type of things that we in Indiana need to have for the future of Indiana, not only today, not just 5 years, maybe 10, 20 years down the road, because we don't have to look very far to our Western brethren and see some of the challenges those folks out in the West have had in terms of water. And we just don't want to allow ourselves to get put in that position. So water quality will be a big focus area for us this year. Foreign ownership of farmland continues to be something that our members are concerned about. We're seeing conversations around this topic both at the state and federal level. And we worked with Senator Messmer a few years ago on a bill that kind of leaned into this. I think there'll be some opportunity to lean into it a little bit more this year in terms of protecting those acres of farmland to make sure Hoosiers continue to own that. And then farmland preservation. Again, you know, I think this is one where we've got to find that balance between property rights and farmland preservation as we go forward. And it goes back to, you know, Indiana just being really so dominant across the ag space for our size. And so how do we continue to preserve the land that we do have to continue to have that viable farm ground as we go into the future? So a lot in that land use property rights, but again, that one of the cornerstones of Indiana Farm Bureau is protecting those two major issues for our members.
And Andy, some of this, what you just mentioned, goes back to a bill introduced last year by your vice president and also a representative there, Kendall Culp, talking about what's going on with the farmland in Indiana. It was basically a data collection bill, and I assume that Indiana Farm Bureau is going to be keeping a close eye on that once the data comes out and really making some decisions about policy priorities as it relates to that once we get that data.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've been in many conversations with Vice President Representative Culp about that bill, as well as the Indiana State Department of Agriculture as they start to compile the data. And so I think we're all looking forward to seeing what the numbers tell us, and then hopefully being able to step back in a bigger group, kind of come up with some solutions to be able to preserve that for the future. But yes, something we're keenly aware of and engaged in on a pretty regular basis.
Andy, I know that next month we've got the Farm Bureau Annual Convention, and that'll be a good time to get folks together from all over the state to talk about some of these priorities and obviously a number of other things, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Our convention will be, like you mentioned, next month up in Fort Wayne, December 14th through the 16th. Looking forward to having members together to talk about many of these issues. We'll have a great lineup of speakers again this year on Friday afternoon. And really, Friday afternoon is the last couple of years we've kind of structured this not only for our members, but ag in general, really trying to get a bigger focus or pull in more than just the Indiana Farm Bureau members. And let's talk about these big issues that are impacting ag, whether it be the water, where we'll definitely have some speakers. We've got the president of Arizona Farm Bureau coming, going to speak to the group about water quantity and some of the challenges they've had out there. We'll have some speakers on carbon capture, sequestration, and I've got to make a plug for our Ag Elect. We'll have former Senator Pat Roberts will be joining us Friday afternoon for lunch and just talk about just political dynamics in D.C. and what he was able to be a part of, and maybe ask him some questions. Just what's this crystal ball look like in terms of federal farm policy and this farm bill as we continue to move forward and work on that in D.C.
And if you've ever met Senator Roberts, he's a pretty funny guy. He can make this stuff pretty relatable. It's that'd be a good lunch to attend. So a lot of fun there at the Indiana Farm Bureau Convention coming up next month. Andy, thanks for joining us here on Hoosier Ag Today. I know you guys are going to be very busy here over the next month or two or three or four here as the legislative session really gets in swing in January.
Absolutely, yeah. It'll get real busy. Even though it's a shorter session, it'll be fast and furious for sure. And so we'll have our team and our members will be over at the State House quite a bit starting early January until the General Assembly decides to gavel out sometime in March. So looking forward to it, and hopefully we can deliver some wins for the members, for Indiana Farm Bureau and rural communities across the state.